Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we're talking Halloween 2 in honor of Halloween coming out, the sequel to Halloween Kills. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. The discussion was fun. The movie's kind of boring, actually, which surprised me. I remember liking it more, but, you know, you look at the cynical view of this movie podcast, sometimes things happen. In the meantime, I want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being you. Keep rating and reviewing us. And by the way, if you haven't yet, first, we have a Patreon. And on aforementioned Patreon, we are talking of the new Bond movie this month, No Time to Die, which just came out, and we went to the theater the opening weekend, so we could talk to you about it, and that's the only reason. We didn't want to see it or anything, but, you know, we're there. Also, I wanted to do a little bit of a plug. You know, friend of the show, regular panelist, Matthew Quinn is a writer. He wants me to plug. He will be signing books at Tall Tale Books in Atlanta from 1 to 3 on the day before Halloween, on 10/30, okay? If you're listening when this comes out, you still have a couple weeks. So please, check him out, go meet and greet, and take some books. Okay. Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we are continuing our Halloween-y October month with a Halloween movie for reals this time. Last season, we did Halloween 3, the superior film. This time, we're doing Halloween 2, Michael Myers is Not Dead, or whatever the subtitle. This might just be Halloween 2. They didn't have to give it a silly subtitle.
Halloween 2, The Quest for Money.
The Quest for More Money. I'm Nick Hoffman, Ripper Ross Improv, and host of this fine program you're listening to. And on panel we have
Jeremy.
Hello, this is Daniel, a frequent contributor to Popdos.com, and I've only killed 3 people in my jacuzzi.
And Adam.
So, I wanted to do this movie because the thought of watching the Paul Rudd one again made me sad.
Oh, that is a bad one.
But apparently we should have, because this one is Slow Walk the movie. This is Amble. Is Ambling the movie.
Yeah, wasn't he faster in the last one?
He was menacing in the last one, too. This one just feels like he's wandering through hallways. Although he does have a pretty good kill on that fat security guard that blustered.
The hammer.
Hammer time. It's good. Anyway, so, and this was supposed to be so the story goes, old Johnny Carpenter didn't want to make this movie. He wanted the Halloween franchise to be more of an anthology, where every time something different, hence Halloween 3. But the first one with Michael Myers was such a big smash success, he never made a character that popular, really. So he's said, we can do it again, but Halloween 3 has to be something different. Problem is, when you make two of those movies, You can't screw that bottle back closed or whatever. That was almost a metaphor.
Well,
I dropped it.
The problem is that the first movie had been, up to that point, the most successful indie movie of all time. Like,
right.
Literally.
True.
And everyone was ripping it off. So, this was after the first Friday the 13th, which was also an indie movie that got big. And then there were a whole bunch of slashers around this point. So what John Carpenter, as producer, he didn't direct this movie, was doing was basically trying to rip off what was happening around him to seem more relevant. But that was the problem. Instead of setting trends, he was copying them.
Yeah, that's very apparent in this movie. Like, yeah, you had your Texas Chainsaw Massacre and your Black Christmas, but Halloween really kind of, like, catapulted the slasher genre completely and created that formula. So by the time you make Halloween 2, you've already had Friday the 13th. You're trying to compete with Friday the 13th Part 2, which came out the same year. And Carpenter's like, yeah, we'll just go ahead and we'll do kind of what they did. More gore, more people getting killed, whatever, boobs, you know? So they're kind of on a roll with having to follow that sort of Friday the 13th established formula. So it is sort of like Halloween is copying its copier.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and let's be very clear. The first one also had kind of themes to it, like the fear of the suburbs. And I know I got into this in Poltergeist, so I won't talk on it too long, but Carpenter makes a neighborhood truly as terrifying as they can be.
because one Laurie Strode needs is anyone else to be paying attention. And she's passing dark houses because no one is listening to them, because even if you're a neighborhood, you're actually very far from other people. And right. That's what makes the first one very scary. And here, all the ingredients are kind of back. Carpenter is not directing, but he does the soundtrack and he writes the damn thing. And Dean Cundey is cinematographer. And yet, this movie has nothing that happens. I mean, despite the fact that Donald Pleasance is yelling at everyone constantly.
I shot him 6 times!
And he's having a conniption. And of course, Adam, you, as the one of us who can actually act, you are here to talk acting occasionally, but like Dick Warlock is lumbering around, oh. And we just have Donald Pleasance having like a Michael, get back in the van. Like he's losing his shit, and it's amazing.
It's so great. I Dick Warlock is the actor who plays Michael Myers in this film. Clearly, he's never seen the first movie, and I don't know why the hell they didn't get Nick Castle back to just play the Shape again.
Yeah, Dick Warlock, I think, plays him 3 more times? Like, he plays him a bunch. He plays him, I think, the most of any actor.
I want to say maybe. Either that or George Wilbur, who played him in 4 and 6.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
But, I mean, it is what it is. Jeremy, you want to give us the plot synopsis?
Well, no. Being that this is, you know, a direct sequel and basically just a cash grab, it starts immediately... Like, not even immediately where the first one ends, because it replays the last scene of the first one.
It does.
Yeah, Michael Myers gets shot 6 times, falls off the roof of the Strode house, walks away, and then we just pick up right there trying to find Michael Myers, who, Laurie Strode, who suffered the catastrophic injury of being scratched on her left arm, is sent to the hospital on a gurney and drugged up. Like, oh God.
Let's take a significant actress from the first one and then just strap her to a bed and drug her for half the movie.
Basically, yeah. She sounds like half of the movie horizontal.
With a terrible wig, I might add.
Yeah.
Dude, she looks like she's about to do a Carrie thing. Like, she's got witch power. She's a jangly girl from a Japanese horror movie. It's really bad.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, and then Michael Myers, I don't even remember how he gets to the hospital, but sometimes...
Slowly.
Yeah. He goes to the hospital where he picks off a bunch of nondescript characters in order to get to Laurie.
Yeah.
Because Friday the 13th did that, so we have to do it too.
Yeah.
Well, and let's be clear here. Friday the 13th, they establish the characters generally first. Not always, but generally. And the reason you love Friday the 13th, because it's literally like... And I know this is a bit from, I think, Pablo Francisco. He's like, oh my God, I'm going to get naked and take a shower. And so it's just like, oh. But like, and so like these girls would be like making out, falling out of their tops. And all of a sudden someone hilariously dies with a machete through the head. Michael Myers is more of a hands-on kind of approach with the stranglings.
Yeah.
Generally. But here he's just, he's MacGyvering some of these deaths. And it's a little bit much.
Well,
it's
a lot. Yeah. The first one worked because Michael Myers was still a human being. He was a monstrous human being, but he was grounded in reality. And in this movie, it's just... I'm going to skip way ahead here, but like the famous kill where he shoves that nurse's face into the hot therapy tub and boils her face off, basically.
Yeah.
He does that, but nothing about him is effective because he's sticking his hand down in there. He doesn't feel a thing, nor do we see any similar injuries on him.
I mean,
which is the exact 180 of what we saw in the first one. So it's like, what are we doing here? He's just become another...
He's become Jason.
I mean, like, Jason eventually became a zombie as those movies went on. Michael just became a zombie in part two. I mean...
I almost had words. The thing about him also is the first movie... establishes him as a killer so incredibly. Essentially, his sister is making out with this dude. She's topless. He's freaked out by it and kills them both.
Yeah.
And like then they zoom out like and we see it through the mask.
Yeah.
Until he's on the front porch with his parents and he's holding a bloody knife and they're asking Michael, "What do you do?"
In the clown costume and they rip the clown mask off his face.
That is such a great opening.
But like, so there we have this weird establishment. It's kind of psychosexual. He's like, and the mask is key. Here, he's just a generic Killy man. And so, like, at the end of the movie, of the first one, which we kind of see, it's this great ambiguous ending, because that's, in the first one, that's the only time that there may be magic. Because he was shot 6 times, and then his body is just gone.
Actually, yeah. 7 times, the movie just didn't count correctly.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. You feeling lucky, punk? Did I shoot the gun 6 times? Or 7?
But yeah, so it's just neat. Like, that's such a cool idea, because that's what's truly scary. Like, is the monster, is he really the boogeyman, as they start calling him in this movie way too often?
Yeah.
Well, that's a reference to the ending of the first one, but again, that's just, it feels like a callback to a much superior movie, and I'll just go ahead and cite Tom Servo's law of movie references again. Never reference a good movie in the middle of your crappy movie.
That's true.
Oof.
And I think, I know it's the first one, I think they do it here too, but they're watching Night of the Living Dead on TV at one scene and they're walking
First one, they're it's kids watching the original Thing, which original John Carpenter remade. Right. But yeah, you're right. There is a scene of like a some random guy watching Night of the Living Dead.
Well, they did that because they didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's true.
Everybody,
learn about trademark kiss.
So many things show clips from Night of the Living Dead because they don't have to pay a dime.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, okay. You know what? This movie is highly inferior to the original, but I do like that my favorite sequels always take place right after the original. So I do love that this movie picks up the second after the original ends.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It's a neat way to do it, and there's no, you don't have to resurrect him. You don't have to figure out how he gets back into the movie like they do with the 4th through 13th one or 14th one, whatever we're up to now.
Oh, yeah.
That's why so often they ignore the continuity, because they have to be like, we got to bring him back. So maybe he didn't actually die in that pit, or with that girl who's burying his child who might also be his cousin. That's the Paul Rudd one.
Oh, God. Oh boy.
Paul Rudd beat him to shit with a pipe. Yeah.
That is... to the point where he was like leaking, what was that, pus out of his eyes?
It was like green. Brown green goo, yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't bleed. He's not human.
We did that one on CineProp a million years ago. That was the first time and hopefully the last, but we'll probably do it on this show, time I've seen that movie.
Oh my God. That was Donald Pleasance's last time as Dr. Loomis.
He died during filming.
Yeah.
Well,
it shows.
During filming. Before reshoots, I think.
I'm not dead, just happily retired.
So who gets a worse send-off? Is it Raul Julia at Street Fighter or him in Halloween 4?
Oh, in Halloween 4?
Halloween 6.
Or 6, excuse me, Halloween 6.
All right. Oh, yeah, definitely definitely Donald Pleasance.
Because it's so funny, like, to have a film dedicated to you is usually bad. I mean, like, Heath Ledger got the Dark Knight, which is okay. Mm-hmm. But, like, so often it's just like, and he will, he said, go, I think he says, go with God. At the end of Street Fighter for Raul Julia, and it's like,
oh.
Ooh, no, not Street Fighter. Not Jean-Claude Van Damme's coked up disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so Halloween 2.
Halloween 2.
So after replaying the greatest hits from the end of the last movie,
yep.
We have Laurie Strode get hauled away, and she's saying, please don't drug me. And they're like, you're a woman who's hysterical. We're going to drug you against your will, which they then do.
Honestly, fucking a few stitches on her arm and maybe a small cast on her leg, and she could have been on her way.
And they could have played a bigger part in this movie.
Yeah.
That's something to do. We then kind of, we're cutting back between her being like kicked, like admitted to the hospital in the, apparently, Haddonfield's a very quiet town because the hospital is like closed for the night. There's no one in the whole damn place except for one nurse who's watching all the babies, which is setting up like, again, previous episode this month, or no, episode we're doing next week this month. But Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It Ooh. Feels like it's the setup of a bit, right? Like, yeah. All the babies are there and Michael Myers can't handle all these babies! And they're just like crying and he's like,
Michael, the neonatal ward is not a place you need to be.
And he starts Donald Pleasancing all over the place. Michael! And Michael's like,
well, one of the big subplots in this movie is how they kill... Well,
one of the other goings on,
one of the other goings on, I guess, is how this one trick-or-treater who was dressed like Michael Myers is killed in this fiery car accident.
Do you know
which one's hilarious?
Do you know who that trick-or-treater was?
I do not.
That the character's name, if they say it, is Ben Tramer. Now, if you go back to the original, Jamie Lee Curtis talks about how she has a huge crush on a boy named Ben Tramer at high school. So they kill Lord Jamie Lee Curtis's crush.
By crushing him. Yeah.
Aww. Because he coincidentally was dressed like Michael Myers. Like, why the fuck would you be dressed as Michael Myers? He's not even an established person at this point.
it's funny. It's like everyone bought the same Shatner mask that year, and he's like, oh, shit, I guess I have to wear mine inside out.
Coveralls and Shatner mask, I guess, tonight.
So this is 78. When did the first Star Trek movie come out?
79, I think.
So yeah. Was this because, like, so had it been, had this come out in 77, would he have been wearing a Han Solo mask?
Oh my god, yeah. It's right in Harrison Ford's face, yeah.
Potentially.
Harrison Ford would have been very, probably grumpy about that.
Oh, yeah, very like most grumpy. Things. Very disgruntled.
Oh, no!
I don't watch those Halloween movies.
I don't care.
Son of a bitch.
Then he'll make you a nice dresser, or whatever he does, and fly a plane into a golf course. sorry, I'm done. And meanwhile, at this point, we should talk about this car accident. The cops are trying to arrest this guy, and then a cop comes up out of Blues Brothers and just, whoa, and smashes this.
Well, it's the funniest death ever.
It is so amazingly stupid. It
happens in like 3 seconds, too.
Bam!
Explosion. Loomis is chasing the fake Michael Myers because he's convinced it's the real one. With a gun, and then the guy just starts running away, and that's when he gets run over.
Listen, I love Donald Pleasence as Loomis, but he might be more of a threat than Michael in this movie.
Well, and again, you do realize that had someone not seen the first one, had no idea who these characters were, he's just following around trick-or-treaters with a gun.
Yes.
Right? There's just high schoolers at a party, and he's walking around like he's about to stop the fun.
How many of those mini Snickers are in your bag? Give them to me!
Is that a wine cooler I smell on your breath? He's also, because we're here and this is our podcast, he's also Blofeld in a Bond movie.
Yes. You Only Live Twice.
Yes. And Goofy Movie, it's a remake of Thunderball. It's the one they made as an Up You to the Broccolis.
Never Say Never Again.
Yeah. Yep. And you're right, I'm all over the place.
It's okay.
He's good in this. And he's good at everything he does because he's always Donald Pleasence, and he's just yelling. And as Blofeld, he's also just yelling.
That's what he does.
R.I.P. He died like 25 years ago.
He died before H2O. I know that much.
Like 96, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But yes, he's also in a movie that no one saw, which they should. THX 1138.
Oh, yes. THX. Watch THX 1138.
I've seen that movie, and I can confirm. I mean, he was in that movie.
He was.
I think Lucas Great only Escape. Directed six. Yes, he did The Great Escape. Lucas only directed six movies, I think, total.
Yeah.
And the first three are his best. Star Wars, American Graffiti, and THX. Yeah. Did he do the second one? More American Graffiti?
No, he didn't direct that.
Yeah. Just those first three.
Yep.
But yeah, John Carpenter... Found him in the dumpster, I guess. I don't know what he was doing at the time. Well, but Donald Pleasence is really good at that.
You know who Carpenter originally asked, and apparently he turned it down and regretted it later? Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee would have been great. Actually, creepier.
Yeah.
Because Donald Pleasence brings kind of a nervous chihuahua energy to things.
Chihuahua.
Lee would have played it slower, I think. A little bit more ominous.
I want to say Donald Pleasence only did the first Halloween because his... child was a fan of one of John Carpenter's earlier films, which is, I guess at that point, Assault on Precinct 13.
I think that's a good movie.
No. I don't know. So,
but I mean, again, like, I also get the feeling that he's just a character actor who does shit.
Right? Yeah.
Like, I mean, he'll do a movie. Sure, why not? And he does really bring this aggressive, nervous, at times he's almost playing it like a noir detective.
Yeah. Especially with the trench coat.
I would have totally played him as, like, the Van Helsing type, just hunting down all sorts of monsters. I gotta get that Freddy Krueger! Like, it's like, he's just going town to town.
You don't go to Camp Crystal Lake.
No. Son of a bitch, my son! And that's just it. It's awesome.
Well, one of the weird things about this movie is, like, in the first one, there's, I think, a total of 3 or 4 deaths on screen.
In the original?
Yeah, in the original.
With almost no gore.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And so a lot of bodies we come across, like the ones that's hanging in the closet, for example, we don't see them die, we just see them dead.
And when they do get killed, it's usually, there's no blood, there's no piercing of the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the problem here is that, on the one hand, the first step is 12 minutes in, which seems too early for a Halloween movie. But on the other hand, slasher movies at this point were so embedded. It's like, okay, everyone's just here to watch teenagers die.
I find, I don't know if this is true or not. Carpenter was, when he made the first movie, purposefully didn't want to have a lot of gore. He wanted to leave it to the imagination. But I don't know, from what I hear, he was A, drunk a lot on the set of Halloween 2. But B, when they asked him how he wanted to do Halloween 2, he's like, yeah, more gore, which goes against what he did in the first movie. So,
well, because he thought the gore would be more quote-unquote modern.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of, this movie feels like it has no tone. Because, like, again, you like the idea, like, it's a blood feud now. We're going to hunt down everyone who wronged me, and apparently Laurie Strode falls into that camp. We don't really know why, I guess, because Loomis is the one who killed her. He should be hunting Loomis.
Well, we don't know why until later with the big plot twist of this movie.
Which is stupid.
It is.
But it is stupid. We'll get there. It's still stupid.
It's not that stupid.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it would certainly explain why he's after her in the first movie.
It's true.
Because, I mean, if you watch the first movie knowing nothing, it's just like he's after her because, oh, what? She dropped the key off on her on his doorstep.
That's
and
true.
Apparently that filled him with bloodlust.
It's okay. It gets retconned later.
This movie... Oh, I almost said the wrong thing. The first one is in the Library of Congress. This one is not. Don't worry.
It's on my DVD shelf.
It is. I own all these. I have the original one and the 2018 one in 4K, and they are beautiful. This one is not. This one I have.
It's coming out.
Well, it's true.
It is.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
The first five.
If I timed this right, this movie, this episode should drop the week that the new one came out.
Oh, all right.
I don't know if I did, though. We'll see.
Ooh.
And okay. It's also, we're recording this in August. COVID might ruin everything and it might not come out for another year.
Yep. We might get no more movies this year.
We may not. Although they're still going to put
out... Which, considering what we've been getting this year, I'm fine with.
Oh, Jeremy.
Can you imagine that Bond movie being delayed again?
Oh, like, my
Daniel
God.
Daniel Craig is going to come out with a walker by the time it's finally...
No time to release.
The Two Knives Out sequels will be on Netflix before Bond comes out.
That's true.
Oh, my Lord.
Did you see the runtime from the new Bond movie, which we're eventually going to have to do on
just Mission? Shy of 3 hours.
Yes.
It's like 258, 256.
Oh, this new one?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Ugh. God help us. And we'll do it. We'll do it for Mission Briefing. We're going to do it live, baby. But it's just, you can make a movie in less than 2 hours. I'm sorry. I know Michael Bay ruined it for everyone, but you can make these shorter. I don't need to see two Transformers try to bang each other for 3.5 hours.
I don't need to see that ever at all. So
I've successfully avoided it for 20 years now. Oh, God help us. We'll do the animated one in the spring, though, so we'll tell you that. Anywho's, it's... So, Laurie Strode. Remember her?
Yes.
The main character of the first movie?
She goes to the hospital at the start of this movie.
Most of the time, she's in a bed. And most of this movie, she's laying in a bed.
Yes.
Up until the last act, which makes this movie very boring.
But the last act, it hits. The last act is a banger.
Yeah, so we should mention, like, after the hilarious explosion of Ben Traynor.
Poor Ben Traynor.
It's really, it's funny because it happens out of nowhere for no reason, but apparently...
I just love how they just randomly made it her crush. It's like, just to pour salt on the wound, you know?
Yeah, so she wakes up, not only is Michael Myers possibly still alive, but also her, like, her high school crush has been... crushed. But, like, around here we find out that the sheriff's daughter was killed by Michael Myers, and he blames Loomis for this.
Yeah, well, in the first one, what was the actress's name? The one that was in Rock and Roll High School?
PJ Souls. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was supposed to be the Sheriff Brackett's daughter, right?
Yeah, Nancy? Brackett.
No, I think the sheriff's daughter was the one who got strangled in the car in the first movie.
You're right, you're right.
Yeah.
Andy Brackett is the daughter. So the sheriff just has a huff and walks off the movie, and there's this poor deputy who has to take over. But again, it turns almost into a Burt Reynolds movie, because the deputy's driving, and Loomis is waving this gun around the car the entire movie. And at one point, he's loading it by aiming it at the deputy, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing?
It was very Plan 9 from Outer Space.
It was. Yeah,
it really was.
Bam! It's so...
It's okay, I took the NRA safety course. Thoughts and prayers.
Meanwhile, Jimmy the paramedic who brings Lori in.
Oh, the love story. The ultimate love story.
And he's just like, this woman is strapped to a bed and semi-conscious. And he's just like,
shake my breath away.
And the
nurse who has seen this all before is like, come on, Jimmy. And he's like, don't worry, I'm right behind you. And then closes the door with him inside. He's like, you're pretty, Laurie Strode. You're just like, guys, what movie are we watching?
Oh my god.
There's two monsters.
The villain?
It's Scream. There's two killers. The head nurse is like, well, you have to leave.
Is this where the head nurse and that one paramedic have sex while watching a game show? And
yes, we're right about there. Okay, so there's literally, it's a hospital with three nurses, two nurses. And no one else is in this whole movie. No.
Hey, don't forget, there is a kid who apparently bit into a razor blade that was in one of his Halloween candies. So.
Yeah, whatever happened to that kid?
We see him. We see him in one scene and he's gone.
Bled to death, obviously.
He bled to death,
Dr. House is called in.
They're like, sorry, the hospital's closed, you know?
The old watchman went to bed for the night. Just a dog. Oh, also... I love the maternity ward because there's also 20 sleeping babies and not a parent to be found. It's like the mom gave birth and is like, well, time to go home. And just left these children.
All the lights are out. All of the beds are empty.
Is that not how a maternity ward works?
I'll pick up my baby tomorrow. It's cool.
The head surgeon puts on a sleeping cap and just takes a nap. So I'm like, where is anyone? The first one was the biggest surprise movie of all time. This one had a budget. Where's an extra? There's no one here. It's so funny how the only extras they have were in that scene outside of the house, right? Because there are people throwing rocks at the Myers house.
Yeah, which is described by Loomis as a wake for Michael.
Whatever.
If this was made today, you know there would be some goths outside that house like, we love you, Michael.
Oh, dude, there would be like women throwing themselves because there's just... And, of course, what's the one, which one is the one with, is it Ice-T? And he's running.
Busta Rhymes.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, from that shitty
Resurrection.
Resurrection, where they're doing like a reality TV show and they lock the people inside the house.
Yeah.
Those would be the people who'd be outside. They're like, let me go in the house to get a relic. An artifact.
I'm sure young Rob Zombie was one of those people.
Lord. Yeah. And what's her name? Moon Zombie? What's her name?
Shirley. That's where
Moon.
They met.
That's right. They met at the Myers house.
God, I hate those
movies. They saw it at Camp Crystal Lake.
What? You might say at the Myers house, Rob Zombie was digging through the ditches. And of course, Jeremy's going to get that.
Oh, boy. Lord Almighty.
Early Lord. Anyway, gonna edit that part out. This movie just kind of jumps everywhere. There's this whole thing where they believe Michael's dead and are trying to confirm it, and then there's the whole thing with Laurie in the hospital. But
yeah,
this doesn't really pick up until Michael shows up at the hospital.
Spoiler alert, I like this movie, but I think that it doesn't really pick up to the final act. And I think the reason why the first movie worked so well is because you actually had time to breathe and at least get an idea of who these characters were and be familiar with what they were doing. And the buildup was earned. Whereas here, it's just slow burn, but nothing's happening. And when the characters die, you feel nothing because you have no idea who the fuck they are. Like, remember when Michael Myers goes up behind the blonde nurse and stabs her with the scalpel, and she's like, Lori! And then she gets stabbed by Michael. Like, who is she? Did we ever see her before in the movie?
You're right. There's no establishment. None of these characters have a texture or a tone, really. There's nothing. I mean, and again, like the first one, Lori is babysitting Tommy Jarvis.
Yep.
We meet all of her friends early on. There's a party next, like, all this stuff is set up. But, like, again, it's interesting because it's such a simple idea to have it at a hospital. You could even have a scene where one of the nurses, we've established her, I know, shocking, but she's just walking down, giving out pills or something, and so we get to meet the other patients. And then they would matter when they die. Who knows how many people Michael even kills in this movie because nothing happens.
Honestly, I think because they had to use an entire hospital building to film this movie, they didn't have the budget to get extras to fill the building.
The most we get in terms of character establishment is naked hot tubbing.
Hot
tub is so established. They established it twice.
The background strangle kill is so good.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
I like the deaths involving the hot tub. You already alluded to one where I think her name is Virginia. The one nurse gets boiled.
Her face gets boiled.
Hard boiled. Yep.
It's good. That is a death. That is a super death. I don't know what hot tub would have a setting to poach someone.
Yeah.
You know, usually you think there'd be a limit. But, I mean, the sauna at my gym has a thermometer that goes up to 250 degrees, which I hope it never gets. But, you know... The Speedo in my Hyundai says it can go 140. It cannot go 140, so...
Well, it won't go 140 if you don't try.
It won't go 140 with that attitude, mister.
The thing I like about Halloween 2 is at least it has the same vibe, the same feeling as the first movie. Like, if you didn't tell me that it wasn't directed by John Carpenter, I would think it's directed by John Carpenter.
No.
I would, but I here's the thing. I mean,
John Carpenter who made Ghost of Mars, maybe.
Oh. Okay, 90s John Carpenter, all right?
But well, I will give you, because it looks good because Dean Cundey's behind the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it still has those great long shots. Yeah. They occasionally do the Hitchcock zoom, where they kind of play with the space while pushing the camera in other directions, so you get that. And of course, Dick Warlock is doing that adorable little puppy head tilt he does when he's killing someone.
Because Nick Castle established that in the first movie.
But it makes him like he is a bloodthirsty monster who doesn't really understand. So it gives him that kind of pensive, and I know we're all doing it and you can't see it because it's an audio medium, but he does that like Labrador Retriever kind of. That's right.
I always looked at it as Michael was admiring his work. But
he's like, look at how good I killed him.
He's on the wall.
I always assumed that was just his replacement for any emotional reaction he might have to what he's doing.
Fair enough. A single green tear.
And here's the thing. When I watch a slasher, I'm like, bring on that carnage candy. Bring on that sweet, sweet gore. But the first one worked so well because when people got killed, it was either never fully shown. The gore wasn't fully shown. You found the body later. Or like when the sheriff's daughter gets strangled in the car, it's kind of blurred by the fog on the window, right?
Right.
When a guy gets stabbed against the wall, it's a silhouette shot. The second movie, it purposefully zooms in on the kill so that you can see the gore to a gratuitous extent. Like the hammer in the guy's security guard's head. Or the syringe in the nurse's eyeball.
Yes. Ooh. Yes. Ooh. The empty syringe
it's gratuitous.
In the eyeball. Yes.
It's very gratuitous.
Cool. So that just,
that's a hard one to watch.
That one I forgot about. And when it came back out, I was like, ah! I will also
Myers is also able. He's like got superhuman strength. He's able to lift people up via scalpel. He like stabs somebody and just lifts them up.
It sounds like the end of one of those.
He swept her off her feet.
Yeah. It's like one of those 3 a.m. knife commercials, like strong enough to lift a corpse. Like it just.
We make the best scalpels.
You want your blood, you watch Wes Craven. I'm just thinking of Johnny Depp's death from Nightmare on Elm. I think of that death a lot.
It's a great death.
But he turns him into pudding. Like, there's just an explosion of blood out of the middle of his bed.
Well, that makes sense, though, in terms of what Freddy can do, because he's, you know, not somebody that exists in the real world. He's just a ghost.
Freddy is a supernatural killer.
Right.
Yeah. It's a great movie. That first Nightmare is so much fun.
One and three, man. One and three are so good.
Yeah, Dream Warriors.
And New Nightmare.
New Nightmare is good, too. It's like the Scream of the series. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I have not seen it in forever. I need to rewatch that one. That one's fun. I remember having fun with it, but again, I haven't seen it in probably 10 years.
It's better than 5 and 6 before it, so Jesus.
Wouldn't be hard.
Yeah.
When you're in the doldrums of a series, with the exception of the Friday movies, which I find, like, number 6 is a lot of fun.
6 is super fun. 4, yeah.
4 is fun. I mean, it's just... At a certain point, you just get silly with them.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th didn't become good until it got, like, bad and silly.
Until, like, 3 or 4, honestly. Yeah.
I think you know what? Everyone shits on Jason Takes Manhattan. Or,
I love Jason Takes
Manhattan. So do I. I love that so much.
It's terrible, but that's why it's so good. But
yeah, Jason goes to hell. Oh, my God.
He decapitates someone with a punch. It's amazing.
Oh, the punch scene is great. Yeah.
Which they do in Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
True.
But I will say... I think it's the third one. The first time I saw it, it blew me away. But there's a guy in a wheelchair, and he throws the machete, hits him in the forehead, and you just see the wheelchair, whoa! And he rolls off the deck and, like, falls into a lake, and just, like,
all right.
Bravo.
It's very good. It's very good. My favorite one is when Jason's aiming a spear gun at a girl's head, and for 5 minutes, she's like, what are you doing? Shoots her straight in the face. In 3D.
In 3D! God, those are fun movies.
Yep.
And again, it's just like, so for blow for blow, do you pick the Halloween series or the Friday the 13th series?
It depends on the movie, really. Like
overall, average.
Like in terms of the kill scenes?
No, quality or kill?
Would you rather watch?
Oh, Halloween.
Halloween.
Halloween any day, but if I'm having a lot of beer, then Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th is the one you put on at the Halloween party.
Right.
Right? Because, like, the kills don't matter, so you just kind of show up and you're like, oh, like, girl taking a shower and boom, she's dead. All right.
I will say this, Jason X is much, much, much better than Halloween Resurrection.
Oh, well, that's not saying much, but they're both terrible movies.
Stretch, they're not terrible, but Jason X is fun. Halloween Resurrection is just...
You're just saying that because Jason X has Cronenberg.
Freddy versus Jason is where it's at. Yeah.
Wait, come on. Just
you're just saying that because Jason X has Cronenberg in it.
Yes, probably.
But that's what makes it space fun. Station. Like, yeah. That's
eventually everything goes to space.
Yeah,
it's the world's greatest fan film. Like, that's just like
Tony Todd is in that movie.
Oh my God, Tony Todd is in it.
Oh no, no, Jeremy, no. That is out of line. You clearly meant Rise of Skywalker.
I will say, as we're recording, Candyman just came out. Jeremy hated it.
I didn't hate it. It's got so many problems with it.
There's no good Candyman sequel. I haven't seen the new one yet, though.
I love Tony.
Like, I even forget a third one exists.
It's a trilogy originally. Yeah.
I don't think I learned till this year there was a third one.
Yep.
Is Tony Todd back in the remake as Candyman?
Like, he's in the very last shot.
That's what? It.
It's a cameo? It's a shame because I love him. Like, just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big success of the first movies was him.
Honestly, they should
have. In the new one, Candyman is an idea more than a person. So you're like, okay.
Honestly, they should have just put them all in that new movie and I'd be all down for it.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, but even like Final Destination, he's the best part.
Yeah.
I mean, because. And I was talking to.
Now, the Final Destination movies trump both Halloween and Friday the 13th.
Shut your mouth.
He's saying it's a
so
series.
So many creative ways to kill people.
Okay, if you're going off the kills, then yeah, maybe the kills, yeah.
What about Scream 3 with Jay and Silent Bob?
Oh, God.
Jesus.
We don't have to talk about that. But I do like the Scream movies a lot.
There's 1, 2, and 4, man. That's it.
I do. I wouldn't even
count 4.
I wouldn't
four
count.
I think I like 4 better than 2.
I wouldn't count 2 or 3 or 4.
Ouch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as far as the first of the series goes, that first Scream is a strong contender for horror movies. Well, unless you don't like 90s talkie talk. I know it is the talkie-talkingest talkie talk movie that has ever talkie talk. It's out there. Like, again, it makes sense why James Silent Bob showed up because it's a Kevin Smith script. Like, people are quipping all over the place. I love the movie, but they are quipping. Tarantino should show up and do some feet shots. Like, that's how much talky talk there is in that movie.
Wasn't Gus... No, he was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Gus Van Sant just randomly showing up.
Yeah. The director of Psycho?
Yes, indeed. The director of Psycho.
Wow.
Has Sean Cunningham done anything else?
He's a producer, I think.
Yeah, he produced all the Friday the 13th movies.
Okay, I'm just curious, because he directed Friday the 13th, which is a... The first one is a movie. It's a real, honest-to-God movie.
It is.
The series becomes better.
Better, yeah.
But
by three or four, yeah.
It's just funny, because when we're talking Wes Craven versus John Carpenter, no one says, what about Sean Cunningham?
Sean Cunningham piggybacked off Wes Craven.
He did.
He piggybacked off John Carpenter, too.
He likes piggyback.
But he's a piggyback guy.
I mean, we can talk about some of these deaths, but I want to make... The one thing that this movie does, which I really pissed me off because it set these movies up from now on, something about Sam Hain comes up.
Yeah, yep. What the fuck was all that druid shit?
Okay, here's the thing, okay? Halloween 5 and 6, it's confirmed that Michael Myers is a part of a cult. Maybe this movie was secretly setting up future ideas, right?
Yeah, so, if Carpenter really wanted to do an anthology, why is he bringing in new shit to a sequel he didn't even want
to
be in?
He's trying to close the story out, but it's like, Michael's is a cult, and there's a twist that we haven't brought up yet.
I guess he was trying to explain why Michael Myers is suddenly a superhuman.
I don't know why they're trying to explain Michael Myers. The first movie, Donald Pleasance's monologue, was enough. He's an unstoppable, unexplainable force of killing.
I looked into his eyes and all we needed. Saw pure
He's a psychopath.
Evil.
That's all we needed. We didn't need anything else.
I saw his eyes black like a doll's eyes.
That's all you got.
Doll's eyes. Chief.
So we've already mentioned the big twist in this movie, which is that Laurie is apparently Michael's sister.
That's what we're told.
That's the big twist, which is retconned in Halloween 2018, so don't worry. You can skip two if you want to just go on with the new continuity.
I love the idea that someone wanted to... I'm like, I love these movies so much. I'm going to direct a sequel, but that part is bullshit.
John Carpenter apparently hated that part.
Laurie, I am your brother.
No,
it's not true. It's impossible.
So we can just tap that through some of these deaths. Jimmy keeps trying to hit on Laurie in various drugged up states. As Michael Myers finally shows up at the hospital. I mean, he's a zombie walking at a very slow speed and takes him off of this movie.
But it kind of works because, Laurie's, she's can't walk either very well.
That's right. She's doing the Michael Shuffle throughout most of this.
The Michael Shuffle.
The kind of dragging your feet.
I like the final act, personally.
Is this, I watched a bunch of movies with a bunch of bad doctors in it. Is the doctor drunk in this movie or is that the Blob?
He was drunk in both.
Yeah,
he was at a Halloween party.
You're right, drunk doctors.
Because he's looking at Laurie, he's like, "I'll operate tomorrow." Because the guy is just shit hair.
We're closing the hospital.
Hospital's closed for the Halloween
Hashtag
party.
Drunk doctors. Yep.
But the nurse is just dressed up like Frankenstein's monster in the background, like, "Oh." Jimmy and the nurse get into it. There's a nurse that is watching the babies. And she decides to go help the cop, right? The cop gives her a radio.
Oh, yeah. That was weird. And a gun, right?
Here, take this. I shouldn't be drinking and owning a gun. But he goes into, the steam room or whatever. He's visiting with Freddy Krueger for a second in the boiler room. And all of a sudden, the cop's like, can you help me? Oh, no. He's down here. And then he gets a pretty good hammer to the face.
I like it when he just, lumbers through the window of the door. That was great.
I mean, he just this blustered old, and again, he's a fat cop, so his hat's all askew, he's sweaty, and he's like, oh god, Michael Myers!
They shoot him to the ground. Doesn't that cop go up to him while he's laying down?
Yeah, they do.
Loomis is like, he's still breathing, and the cop's like, I don't know about that.
Throat slit.
Yeah.
So the other paramedic has a girl that's a nurse. He's hitting on her pretty hard. They're in
let's just say it, he's rapey.
He gives up a serious rape vibe. But they're in whatever. They're in the back room, they're watching TV. And this is the point where I guess the movie finally starts getting going, kinda.
Yeah.
But it's Jill, is that the nurse? I think.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
None of these matters.
Yeah.
These characters are here and there. They're gone.
Jimmy, like, finds the body of Archer and slips on a pile of blood. Like,
that was hilarious. When okay. Jimmy just falls and gets a concussion after slipping on some blood, it's hilarious. And then he tries to drive a car.
Well, I mean, Loomis is at the elementary school because apparently Michael Myers was at the elementary school. Because
why not?
But again, I just like the idea of Michael Myers at a tiny desk with crayons. Like.
Okay, so I didn't miss an earlier scene. They just happened to be at the school for some reason.
And he
okay.
wrote Samhain on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
For some reason.
God.
This movie makes no sense. And the other thing that's weird about it too is if you told me this movie was cut to ribbons, I'd believe you. But it doesn't feel that way. It feels like this was intentional.
We need a director's cut of Halloween 2.
Oh yeah, six and a half hours long, like Lord of the Rings.
I'd watch that.
We do not need the Snyder cut of Halloween 2.
Give me the Rosenthal cut.
Oh boy.
Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings. Peter Jackson's Halloween. It's just like 7.5 hours trying to kill Michael Myers and throw him to Mount Doom.
I would watch that.
I would do. Finally killed that fucker. He'd come back. They'd figure it out.
Yep.
It would.
He'd swim through lava.
Well, during the final scenes, and we'll skip ahead because a whole bunch of nothing happens in this movie, but Michael's chasing Lori. She eventually gets a gun and shoots Michael's eyes out.
Yeah. I mean, after Lori dreams that she was adopted. She dreams about the time she finds out she was adopted, like you casually do when you're drugged up in a hospital.
But don't worry, Michael Myers will be able to see again in Halloween 4.
That's right. I mean, we've already talked about all the deaths. Alvis is, or the nurse is killed because he stabs her in the eye and injects, like, bubbles of air or whatever. It's something. That is a Saw death. Like, that is a honest to God creepy, unsettling.
Syringe?
Yeah, the syringe to the eyeball.
Would have been cooler if her eye blew up.
If her head popped?
The head popped open.
No, that, we're still trying to be somewhat grounded in reality.
Oh, yeah. We're not on part 7 yet. Yeah, you're right.
It is Saw, right? Where there's like a box of syringes that someone has to reach.
She jumps into a pit of syringes.
Yeah.
Screw that.
Nope. I fainted once on a nurse because they had to take blood from me.
Wow.
I'm that guy. Yeah. So I had an allergy test. You know, they do little pokes on your back and they did some more on the arm. And the first row was fine. The second row, I got woozy. The third row, I woke up and someone was holding me against the wall. And I fainted, but I don't know what happened. But the poor nurse before, the guy who was holding me against the wall was like 5 foot nothing. And I'm 6'5", 250. And she just, I must have looked like a tower. It's a milk crate challenge. I'm just, whoa. I wake up and this dude just holding me against the wall. You all right, guy? And I'm like, so much better. They lay me down, but you know. I'm not good with those. Lori finds out she was adopted. Remembers she visited Michael at the sanitarium or whatever that scene
was? That scene was so unnecessary.
Yeah.
My brother? Question mark?
Oh, yeah. My brother from when I was a kid that I visited. Now I remember him. Yeah.
Now I remember the plot of that.
Where was I in the first movie knowing this, you know?
Yeah. And then at this point, Loomis is like, oh, Sam Haim, that must mean he's indestructible for some reason. Better get the U.S. Marshals.
Which, good lord. So much stupid in this movie.
Yeah. We don't know where Michael is. At this point, I think Loomis realizes about the adoption because he's asking and they say something like the files were sealed because of the murder.
And deliberately kept from him. Why would you keep files from me?
I look at all the things. Like, I just, I also love how at this point he's also kind of Michael Myers' biggest fan. Like, because he's solving a mystery, but he's like, oh, my. He's like, there's secret dirt about Michael Myers.
Oh, that killer's classic Michael.
And so he has like a live journal somewhere that he's like just discovered. The secret first album that no one knows about. Like, he's just like, oh, files I can read. That became very Crypt Keeper-y, I'm sorry.
You're like Crypt Keeper mixed with Mark Hamill's Joker.
No one said I was good at much. So, from there, Michael Myers, Loomis is like, now everyone's finally at the fucking hospital. We're 2.5 hours into this 90-minute movie. And everyone's at the hospital. And if I recall correctly, Loomis pulls a gun on a federal marshal. On a U.S. marshal.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, he does, in the car. Yep. And he shoots the window to prove his point.
We're right. I told you it was loaded. It's just pow. Jill eventually finds where Laurie Strode is. Because at this point, Laurie hears...
Is that the blonde nurse, Jill?
I guess so.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. He gets stabbed in the back? Okay.
Yeah. And Laurie has heard people dying down the hallway. And so she's running and hiding herself. Because that's what you do. You run away from the end of the movie.
But she put pillows in her sheets to fool Michael.
And it does.
And it works.
These pillows are not very satisfying.
Michael starts stabbing the pillows, and he stabs it like 10 times before he's like, wait a second, no blood.
His weakness is memory foam.
I do like the idea, though, that like in the first one, we get like 30 seconds of Michael Myers' vision, right? Like, because when he's a kid in the mask, we see it. So two things we know about Michael Myers is A, he apparently loves Star Trek, and B, he doesn't know what's inside of people. Like, so like we just like cut to Michael Vision, and it's just like rainbows and butterflies and bunnies around. He's just stabbing people, and hearts are flying out of it.
Hearts are playing.
But because he stabs it 15 times before he's like, which also means that the other people he stabbed, he doesn't realize that there's like texture or there's resistance of any sort.
Maybe he just hates Mike Lindell that much.
Did you make a MyPillow joke?
I did.
You made a MyPillow joke. Well done.
Hey, with this being a hospital, you can tie it into COVID, how there's not enough beds.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
I also do like the idea of him buying pillows. Like, he's just a target buying pillows. He's just trying to stab him. Like, this is no good.
No. Not the same.
Not the same at all. This movie is bad because we're doing bits. You can tell. This is where we get the scalpel death you referred to, where she's stabbed and she's thrown up into the ceiling fan. And then Laurie is essentially hunted for the last 20 minutes of this.
I like the final act, okay? Don't be too hard on the final act.
But this is where there's actually tension for the first time, because the movie actually finds its pace at the last 10 minutes, right? She goes into that car in the parking lot, and she can't start it because there's no keys. And the one car in the 80s that doesn't have the keys up in the visor.
Yep.
So she essentially hides in the footwell until Jimmy shows up.
And Jimmy tries to drive the car, and then he, you know, falls on the horn
for 10 minutes before she pulls him off.
Yep. And Michael Myers is like,
it's like Tim Allen in Home Improvement.
Oh, boy.
You know what? He's probably just as good around women as Tim Allen.
Probably.
Then, of course, the entire time Michael Myers is doing anything, it's... looks like it's back to jail for me.
That's right. So Loomis is just waving gun around. So we're finally with Loomis. It's like the other cop and the federal marshal show up.
Yeah.
And they reach just in time.
Yep.
They save Laurie. And Michael gets shot another 400 times by Loomis until he's finally dead.
Well, he gets shot. First, Laurie shoots him and blinds him, which... Big HD transfer joke. His eyes are clearly still there even after he's been shot.
He just closed them.
Oh, you can still see his eyeballs like reflecting. Yep.
Yeah, you totally can.
Even though you see the, you know, strawberry jam coming out on the mask. And then Loomis shoots him, and then he opens up a gas tank that was in the OR, I guess is where they are.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Everyone leaves their flammable gases in the OR.
You mean inflammable means flammable?
What the country.
By the way, when Loomis yells at Laurie to get out, it's the funniest editing or sound snippet I've ever heard. It's like, ow! Get down!
We go Arnold for a second. But like, by this point, Mike Myers has killed everyone with his best buddy, Scalpy. And,
where did the knife go?
He killed the marshal, but it's so funny because, yes, I like the third act better than any of the other acts. If I had to pick my favorite of the three acts, it's the third act. But this scene is kind of silly because he's been blinded because Laurie has shot him after killing the marshal and everything.
Okay. And he's like literally just swiping the scalpel around.
It's gone to minimal score. There's no sound except for swoosh, swoosh, swoosh. And they just keep making noise to confuse system. So you hear Laurie like bang on the door and Loomis kick a wall. So
Benny Hill song comes on and
and they just speed up the animation. But yeah, then he opens, I don't know if it's oxygen or ether, but some flammable gas that's just in this OR.
Yep.
And Loomis is like, I'm never getting another job again, so I guess I'm going out fighting.
Yep, he does. He just fucking blows them up.
If I'm going out, I'm going out blazing. Quite literally.
He holds up the lighter and he's like, it's time, Michael.
Which is a good moment.
But again,
it is a good moment.
It is good. It's just so funny how Donald Pleasance looks at what he's done in the last 36 hours and he's like, oh, this is the end of me. Like, he doesn't even try to say, there's no Molotov cocktail for a second, and then he has to sacrifice himself. He's just like, oh, this is going poorly. Woof!
Until part four, where all he has is a small burn on his face and a cane.
The smallest of scars.
The smallest.
I mean, it's essentially his Blofeld scar. It's kind of underneath an eye.
Just Blofeld scar from the set of James Bond and then the cane.
Well, anyway, Loomis dies in the explosion, and Michael, for a brief second, starts walking out just completely in a flame suit. Which is
Going on. All of a sudden, he's puffier because he's not.
Yes.
Puffy. Yeah.
But anyway.
He's a little puffy. Judgy, Adam.
He's on fire, and Laurie's just there watching, but eventually, after a couple steps, he falls down and apparently dies, and that's the end of Michael Myers. Yeah.
Or is it?
And then Laurie goes to another hospital, presumably for Halloween 3 and a half, you don't get. But yeah, that's kind of it.
See how the movie.
I had fun talking about this movie. I don't know if the movie held up as well as I thought it did. I enjoyed this movie still, but we can go around the table. Jeremy?
No.
Well spoken.
I mean, it's, yeah, it goes against everything the first one did. It's a straight up, you know, gory slasher movie. There's not much tension. You don't care about the characters. It's kind of slow. It's, yeah, like I watched, in preparation for this, I watched the first two back to back.
Yeah.
And even though there are some similarities, clearly it's the same cinematographer, but like from the get-go, I was like, yeah, this was not directed by Carpenter.
Yeah.
Had this been a Friday the 13th sequel, I might give it more of a pass, but it's literally a sequel to one of the most legendary horror movies ever.
Yeah.
And it's just so much more incompetent. It's boring. The pacing is slow. It's needlessly gory. Maybe some scenes in the last act are entertaining. I do kind of like the finale that Adam mentioned with it's time, Michael, and then Pleasance blowing everyone up. But especially when the only one I have to go on at this point is the first one, no, this is nowhere near as good. And the fact that it isn't just makes it that much worse.
Sure. Adam?
I loved this movie when I was a kid. I really did. I was like, this is as good as the first one. And then as I got older and I watched it more and more, yeah, it's highly inferior to the first one. It is, because it's part two and it is only going off of that first Halloween movie. Yeah, it's got big shoes to fill and it doesn't fill them. If this was like Halloween 4 or 5, I feel like people would appreciate it more. But the kills are solid, but the gore doesn't fit in with the first one. It's like, but it is the only movie, Halloween sequel until maybe the 2018 movie, that actually feels like a sequel to the first one. And I will give it that. I think the third act, it's a slow buildup, and it's not nearly as great as the buildup of the first one, but I think the third act really hits.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some great moments in this movie, despite the fact that it is not even as good as it doesn't even hold a candle, a lighter, in front of some flammable gas to the first movie. So I like this movie, but the first one's 30 times better. Just watch the first one and then skip to the 2018 movie.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with all that. I mean, we already talked about if this is better than Friday as a series or not. I generally like the character of Michael Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis, man. Give her work where you can because he's great. I wonder, partially in the back of my head, if there wasn't what he was doing anthology as the idea, a script he was kicking around about like a janitor or a doctor at a hospital. Because this feels like Michael Myers is crammed into a world he didn't need to be in some ways. I like this. There are worse Halloween sequels than
definitely.
This. At least this has still got that 70s/80s feel that feels right to slashers. One of the things I don't like about the Rob Zombie movies and the more modern movies is that in some ways I feel like slashes like that should exist in the Reagan administration and that's it.
Yeah.
Something about modernizing them makes it feel wrong. The effects feel wrong. This this is obviously all practical, and that makes it feel all the more real and creepy and unsettling, etc. But totally fine. It's just the other one is right there. And if you want to see something fun, the third one is right there. So that's why this one is not bad. It's just almost forgettable.
It's sandwiched in the middle. Yeah. And now it's been retconned, so it doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so is... But anyway, regardless, I'm sure one network will just have them all streaming on Halloween, and you'll pick It, Friday, or Nightmare, and just watch 10 movies. Or like me, watch all the Treehouse of Horror from The Simpsons, which is what I do every Halloween while I'm dealing with trick-or-treaters. So, you know, whatever. You can do worse. You can do better, but you can do worse. However, we are out of time. Thanks for listening, subscribing, tuning in. This is October, baby. We're doing all Halloween movies to whet your appetite. The Patreon movie this month is Adam's Family Values.
Ooh.
Since we did the first one a few years ago and it was popular. But in the meantime, The Riff, we're going to do a horror movie. I don't know what it is yet. We'll figure it out. However, thanks for listening, subscribing, and tuning in. We're out.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.